Good morning to those of you that are watching this, or good whatever time of day it is that you're watching this. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Greg Clausen. I'm one of the pastors here at Hepburn MB Church. For the next little while, I want to share with you some of what I've been learning over this last week and preparing for you. Later on, Brad's going to join me for a time of worship and through song. And after that, we're going to have a video attached to give an update from Redberry Bible Camp of what's going on with their summer this year. So thanks for being with us. Maybe to start, let's just pause a moment of prayer. Lord, thank you for this time that we have here and this chance to be encouraged and challenged through your word. I pray you continue to give each one the endurance and strength, particularly in areas that we're struggling in right now in this time. Thanks for being present with us. May we continue to have our eyes and our hearts open to see how we can be your hands and feet in our communities and homes. Thanks for being present here. In your name we pray. Amen. One of the unique benefits of this time that we're in is that our church services are available in a new way to so many people. Those that are not able to join us physically in Hepburn now across our country can join in. Our sermons have always been online, but it's something cool about being able to watch. And it's been exciting to hear from those of you that have been able to do that. Even though it might be a bit less fun to be the one being watched, I know both Rod and I are getting better at that. Wherever you are right now, I hope you're doing well. Let's see. Is it too early in the morning for you to have a glimpse into the mind of Greg? Do you ever play over what you just said in your mind and wonder if you mean what you just said exactly as you said it? I hope you're doing well. It sounds nice, but what does that really mean? Do I have to follow through on something that I just said for you? Is there another step to me hoping that you're doing well? Or can I just say that and carry on without any other thought? I hope you're doing well. We do this all the time. At least I do. Someone's maybe sick in the hospital. I hope you get better. Someone's going to go watch their favorite sports team. Well, I hope they win for you. While you're packing your groceries in your car, someone's talking your ear off in the Walmart parking lot, sharing about their difficult mother-in-law. And when they pause to breathe, you quickly jump in with, well, I hope things get better for you, and you hop in your car. Some of us use hope lots. And I think that is great, because it's a very nice word. It's not an aggressive word. You can't very easily offend someone with the word hope, unless you weren't listening to anything that they were saying, and that's your way of escaping a conversation. Or if you're hoping terrible things for them. But it doesn't usually mean that you have to do more to follow through on what you just said. Let's say if someone here in Hepburn has no vehicle to get to the city, and your hope for them to find one doesn't necessarily put you on the hot seat to follow through with your own vehicle. It's a safe word. It's an encouraging word. But interesting, it's a word that usually makes us give up control of whatever we're hoping for. I'm hoping for the Canucks to make a surprise playoff run and win the Stanley Cup. But that's completely out of my control. Some would even call that delusion, not hope. But it's funny how those two things are awfully close together. What one person hopes for, another might scoff at. What one person holds as hope that feels out of reach, another might practically look at a situation and say, why would you even hope for something that's not going to happen? You ever judge someone's hope as more of a delusion of what could possibly ever actually happen? Yikes. When you put it that way, it sounds kind of calloused and cold. Who am I to say what can and can't be hoped for? Maybe our hope is supposed to be a little bit foolish. What kind of person are you? Where's your hope scale? Is hope a word that you often use, or is it avoided? I know we each have our different experiences and even letdowns that might cause us to hope less or more. But I think it's fair to say that a world full of hopeful people would be a better place. This is going to be our focus here for this time. It's kind of a way of carrying on the sermon series that Rada started us on although it's taking a bit of a different approach. It's more of a support of the past sermons rather than an addition to the sermon series. Hope isn't in the passage of James that we've been using, James 3:17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. That's where we've kind of been sitting for the last little while. But we're going to look at the way we view ourselves and how we move forward when we find that we're lacking the wisdom and character traits that James is talking about. So first, I want to give you two different ways to help us better understand hope. First, hope has to have expectation. How can you hope without genuine expectation? Expectation of what's going to come. It's actually how hope works, but it's worth the reminder. It's like asking how a brave person can do what they need to do without feeling fear. If they didn't feel fear, they wouldn't be brave. Being brave needs to have that feeling that something could go different than what is planned, hence the need to be brave. Hope is hope because you're remaining optimistic, although what you see does not necessarily point to a good outcome. I read one of those short sayings that said, hope is faith that optimism is worthwhile. Hope is faith that optimism is worthwhile. I like that. Hope is an optimistic expectation that goes against what might be a probable outcome. Second definition of sorts is this. Hope removes you from being in control. My hope for the Canucks to win the Stanley Cup is an optimistic expectation of something that I can't make happen on my own. In a situation that doesn't seem very likely. If I can make that happen, then there's no need for hope. I can just do it. So we're going to hold these two aspects of hope and apply them to different situations. But first, I want to let Scripture shine a bit more light on this. If you've been tracking with me till now, that's great. But our good words don't last, nor are they worth building a foundation on. So here's one thing we can see through Scripture. Put your trust and your hope in God alone. Isaiah 26, verse 4 says, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 62, verses 6 to 8 says, truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. The Psalms are filled with references to trust in God alone, a call for the people to put their trust and hope in only God. These two are very much connected, trust and hope. See, when we put our trust in God, the effect of that trust is that we have hope. And that then allows us to hope for something. The talk of hope and trust is all throughout the Psalms because they were often written in times of trouble, when things weren't going as planned, when things were often looking hopeless. Things that people had put their trust in were buckling underneath them, and they were losing hope. And God reminds them of the call to once again place their hope and trust in him alone. Sometimes we can do the opposite, which is why this call is still so important for us. When things start going bad or different than what we have planned, sometimes our gut reaction isn't to lean on God, it's just to try harder ourselves. But as we said earlier, hope requires us to put someone else in control outside of what I can accomplish on my own. If that's the case, I want that someone else to be God. Hopelessness is a theme that's all too familiar in the stories of the Bible, which might sound a little unsettling, but it's actually encouraging because we can relate to what they have gone through. There's going to be a story you can identify with and relate with. Noah, Moses, Gideon, David, people struggling with hope. These stories increase our faith and give us confidence because we're able to see the outcomes of the situations that in the moment seemed hopeless. We get to read along. And it won't take long to see that every time God is working in the hopeless situation. Sometimes the best thing that can come from a hopeless situation is the reminder of our ultimate hope. Moving our attention from what we have set up and planned to a focus on our ultimate hope in God. In Romans chapter 8, verses 24, 25, Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome. He's encouraging them to push on past the struggles that they were facing. He speaks of a hope in the waiting period. While things here are not yet what God plans them to be, he says, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Hopeless situations can still accomplish good. God's in the business of looking for opportunities to make his name great in hopeless situations. Jesus worked in hopeless situations, like giving sight to a blind man. Just read the Gospels. You can't miss God when he comes through in what we think is a hopeless situation. And when it seems like our hopeless situation do not change, God increases his presence and his power in us, and we begin to see that maybe God is sometimes more concerned about what's going on in here than what's happening out there. When we feel like God's maybe saying no to a situation, he's always saying yes to you. This is back to the essence of our series. God wants to shape us, to build up our character, to withstand the challenges of today, giving us the ability to endure them and to build up our hope for what he is doing amidst all of that. So here's a question I want to let sit with you for a while. In your situation, are you upset that God isn't changing it? First of all, that's okay. Because he knows your emotions too. That's not a surprise to him. But he's also there holding out his hand, offering you the strength to endure this challenge. If only we have the strength to genuinely hope for what God might do in us. In Pastor Rod's first sermon of the series, he said, I hope this conversation might help us resist our culture of the shiny and say no to the false view that faith should give us a shortcut. And instead re-engage this lost notion of character as that which has been tested and approved. Do you see yourself as one that has been dealt with a bad hand of cards? If only you're more like so-and-so, who seems to have everything going for them. If you were to hope for yourself to have an optimistic expectation in a situation that you can't seem to overcome on your own, what would you hope for? When's the last time you turned that hope into a prayer and asked for God's help in it? When we talk of shaping and refining our character and adding more portions of the things that we're lacking, it's important to have a good portion of hope within our desires to become more like Christ. You know just as well as I do, there's a pretty big gap between where we find ourselves currently and where we want to be. But rather than becoming self-loathing for not being good enough, be inspired to hope for what we can grow into. God does not look at us in our faults and in our failures and say, well, I tried. Guess I'll wait for somebody else to come along. No. He's already given us the most hopeful path to follow. The path that Jesus laid out for us when he took all of our sins and took it with him to the grave, only to rise again filled with new life. Able to show us the same path. God's not asking for a perfect life. He's asking for you to put your hope and your trust in him. And as we do that, God's able to use us and to shape us to make a difference in this world for the sake of his kingdom and for the sake of those that are still without any hope. He knows the battles we face, but he does not give up on us. And we shouldn't either. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, and I am certain that God, who began the work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Began the work in us. Do you ever feel like you're done changing? You're too old to change, too stuck in your ways to change. Maybe you're just too stubborn, maybe too weak to change. God does not feel the same way about you. What a hopeful reminder for us to become optimistically expectant of how we will continue to be shaped when we have God as our shaper. He's going to continue the work within us. I know I can say for myself that I want to be a more hopeful person. Having my first reaction be hope rather than skepticism. Maybe some extra hope would push out some of that cynicism that's rooted in me. When we have hope as a central part of our person, our focus and our eyes and our posture, the way we handle challenges has that upward focus. It's not stuck on what's broken right in front of me or even within me. It's focused on what's ahead because it forces me to lean on what's not in my control. Living in hope gives the motivation to press on when the facts in front of us look like they're outweighing my capacity to press on. Living with hope as the focus helps us to go back to that coworker, that friend, or maybe that spouse that we've wronged and ask for forgiveness for the times when we didn't follow through on a promise or we broke the trust that we had worked so hard to maintain. When there's little or no hope in our lives, these same faults and broken promises become heavy, crushing on ourselves. Each morning you wait carrying the same weight that you fell asleep with, only to add more weight throughout the day with more chains to carry, and we drag more burdens along. Maybe you're a person hearing this and you're fully aware that that's the place that you're in, but you simply don't have the strength or maybe the support from those around you to make that change in your life. If that's you, let me first celebrate with you the awareness of what you long for. I pray with you that you be aware of that moment when you do have the strength to make a change, to begin a conversation with someone about what's going on deep within you and what God is stirring in you. Even if it's just that, there's something stirring. And I pray that there would be someone put right in front of you to help guide you in those steps. If you're looking for that person, we'd love to talk with you. Any one of our staff here at church or others that know to follow Jesus. We're not miracle workers, but the thing is we follow a God who is. And he's in the business of showing a way to life in the fullest that is guided by a deep hope in what's not even seen. Maybe you're a person that just feels stuck in what simply feels hopeless. Where hope is a word that feels kind of fake and made up by those who don't really know what real life looks like. One of the really hard parts about being in that place is that we believe that we're the only one going through those things. That we're uniquely awful, and that the truths and opportunities for wholeness are for everybody else and not for me. And I can say that as unique as you are, no one else is like you. Many have gone before you and continue to walk along similar paths as you. And some have even overcome very similar hopeless situations that you might feel you are in. And God is not stumped by our mistakes or our situations. And when we come to him asking for forgiveness and help through our ways, he does not see our faults first. He sees the child he created. And God continues to be present with us right where we are, as we are. He does not wait for the perfect you. He just sees you. He sees the one struggling in addiction, struggling in self-hate, the one locked in prison, the one that's thrown away all the gifts and abilities for a quick reward that is now lost. That is one of the ways that God shows us hope in what seems like a hopeless situation. Because Jesus was able to live a life that was worthy of a sacrifice for our hopelessness. And he's given us hope. Hope that can be trusted when we put our trust in God. The outcomes are out of our control, but we already know that God does not disappoint when he hears the cries of our heart and he meets us. hope that is now bound in the living hope that is Jesus Christ, able to walk and move and be right with us in this place of despair. Because of the sacrifice given for me, hopelessness and death have no grip on my life. And I can sing, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. Songs have always spoken to me and allowed me to speak in a way that doesn't always feel natural without maybe being put to music. I'm so grateful for the ability to let music give different feel behind the words that I already know. Obviously, I've deeply missed the ability to be together with other people with different walks and experiences in life, coming together in one place to unite their voices, their hearts, and their thoughts to God. But it's still been a joy to be able to worship, to sing with even a few people as we put together some videos to share with you. So we want to do the same thing here. So I asked Brad to come and help me. And the songs we're going to sing here are directly related to the hope that we have in Jesus amidst our challenges. They speak of the hope that resists, that rests in the one that has overcome death and made way for us to continue to fight our battles every day. So I hope that even as you continue participating here and watching and worshiping, that God would stir in your heart and meet you in a place that surprises you. That you'd find the strength to maybe make certain steps in your life that let hope become more real again. I want to read for you Romans 15, verse 13 from the New Living Translation. Again, Paul says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. May this confident hope be yours in abundance as you trust in him.